The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had. And she was no better, but grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. And he strictly ordered them that no one should know this. And then he told them to give her something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord. I invite my young friends to come down to the front and join Miss Leanna.
Take medicine, things like that. What about if you get cut Easter? Jesus, right? Yeah, in today's scripture, Jesus, just his touch and just his words, healed someone. And he also told the lady who just reached out and touched his clothes, he said, "Your faith has healed you." So God sent Jesus and all of these things to heal our bodies and to heal our boo-boos. Pretty cool, isn't it? Will you pray with me, Jacob? You ready? Dear Jesus, thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for giving us things to heal us.
Thank you for giving us things to heal us.
Thank you for good food.
Thank you for good food.
Medicine. And bandages. We love you.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Spirit of the living God, breathe power into us that through faith we might be healed and be instruments of healing to others. Amen. Desperate people do desperate things. We see this lived out daily in a myriad of ways. Hopelessness drives people to despair to the point that they do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. Our gospel lesson this morning is about two desperate people also doing desperate things. The text begins with Jairus, a leader of the synagogue. By virtue of his position, he was most likely wealthy, important, and influential. And like any parent whose child is sick and near death, he approached Jesus and begged him, repeatedly, the scripture says, to come with him and lay hands on his daughter so that she would be healed. As Jesus was making his way through the throngs of people to go to the girl, something happens. An interruption occurs. Another desperate soul, a destitute, outcast, and no-named person, exhausted from the circumstances of her life, musters the energy to leave her home and move among this vast crowd of people, hoping not to be caught, and furtively touches Jesus' cloak. Time hangs in the balance at this very moment. She was different. Her suffering had ended, and she knew why. Jesus felt different, and he wanted to know who. So he stopped, looked into the crowd, and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" I can almost hear the disciples' incredulous gasp. "You're in this crowd of people. What do you mean, who touched you?" Can you remember that sick feeling in the pit of your stomach when you might have been caught doing something wrong? I know I can. Were you alone when you got caught? Or were others present when you got called out for your transgression? Perhaps your face turned red and you broke into a sweat. Your hands and legs trembled and you weren't able to stand still. Your heart was in your throat and it was pounding. You couldn't speak. yet you must. And now the woman must speak. The same faith that prompted this woman to leave her home, to go out into the crowd, to risk everything she had left, which, by the way, wasn't much, was the faith that gave her strength to come forward and tell her story, the whole story, the story of her suffering, the things that she had tried. She possibly even shared what were her hopes and dreams that she had imagined for 12 long years of being out of touch with her family and her friends, her community, of how she is now out of money with absolutely no relief. You see, a touch of faith is vastly different than just brushing up against someone in a crowd. Her actions had consequences, and she was about to find out what they would be. Jesus felt the woman's weariness and her deep hope. He saw her as a human being, not an anonymous touch. And we know the powerful words that Jesus spoke to her. This despondent yet determined nameless child of God had now been claimed as daughter in the presence of Jesus and the throng of people. By law, she entered the crowd unclean, and by grace, she stood before God and all people, publicly healed, pristinely clean, and positively claimed. Now, I can imagine that by now, Jairus is wringing his hands and his mind is racing. And he's probably thinking, how long is this going to take? Come on, sir, my child needs you. And while Jesus is blessing this woman he now called daughter, Jairus' greatest fear is realized. His daughter has died. Jesus was not done yet. There was still work left for him to do. So Jesus and Peter and James and John and Jairus made their way through the crowd to Jairus' home. Jesus said some strange things. Do not fear, only believe. The child is not dead, but sleeping. Once he and the others arrived at the home, following an encounter with the crowd, Jesus went to the child, reached out and took her hand, and he spoke to the child. And immediately she got up and began to walk. Desperation is now replaced by amazement. Lutheran pastor David Lowe said, "This gospel lesson is perfect for people who do not have it all together. Even though some may not want to acknowledge it, I think that none of us have it all together in all areas of our lives. There are times when we bump up against circumstances that are out of our control, some that have the potential to drain our hope and push us to the very edge of our ability to cope. In our desperation, we can act in fear or in faith. It's frightening to be vulnerable, to admit that we have moments of despair and desperation in our lives, and when vulnerability just does not feel like an option. Many people are afraid of what they do not understand. If Pastor Paul or Vicar Emily or I told you, "Do not be afraid, only believe," most likely that would not be sufficient for you. But this is what I want you to hear. Fear and faith do not go together. Fear holds us back from the grace and healing that God has for us. Think about what happened in our text today when Jesus knew of Jairus and the woman's desperation. Have you ever considered what you might do if you found yourself or someone that you loved in a desperate situation? A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Paul encouraged those who are in a dark place to let him or me or Vicar Emily know so that we can be with you and help you find what you need. I make that offer to you again today. Within our gospel story of individual healing, there is also the reality of isolation and social alienation. Both females were ritually unclean, one as a result of death and one as a result of hemorrhage. Healing is a communal event. Acts of touch in the presence of others restored both of them to new life despite the lack of understanding of those in their midst. So I ask you, who do we exclude from the church because we perceive them to be unclean? Who would make you uncomfortable if they came in and sat right beside you? Could it be someone experiencing mental illness that manifests itself in an unkept appearance with minimal regard to hygiene? How about someone with Tourette's syndrome, a type of tic disorder that causes involuntary or repetitive movements and vocalizations to the point that it interrupts our worship? But what if you didn't know? Perhaps someone with AIDS or ringworm or some other highly contagious communicable disease came and sat beside you. Beyond physical healing, acceptance, closeness, and touch can make us and others whole. We can come to church every Sunday and bump into Jesus, but that is way different than reaching out to touch him in faith. So what does that mean for us? It means that we, all of us, must be willing to admit when we need Jesus' touch in our lives and seek help. Suffering in silence without the love and support of others is not what God intends for us. Like Jairus and the woman, only by owning their hopelessness and desperation were they willing to try something out of the ordinary. And we should too. It also means that we can be the touch that others need. You may be familiar with a quote by Saint Teresa of Avila, a Carmelite nun. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. With this as our guide, we have the opportunity to be the kind of community that accepts limitation and honors vulnerability for ourselves and for others. We can be a safe place where together we can share our hopes and fears, our dreams and disappointments, so that together we may hear and offer words of God's grace, acceptance, and mercy. If we studied all the healing stories in the Gospels, and I hope that we will because they are my all-time favorites, we would see that healing is not confined to physical cure. Cure is the elimination of a disease or a disorder. The woman was cured of her 12-year history of bleeding, but she was also healed. She was reconciled to her family and friends and restored to her community. Healing may or may not include a cure or even prevent physical death from occurring, though it did today in this story. Healing includes reconciliation, restoration of relationships, or learning to live within one's limitations or illnesses. We may never need the enormous courage and boldness of the hemorrhaging woman. Many of us will not have the affluence or influence of Jairus. We don't have to have the faith of our most spirit-filled friend or even that of our neighbor. We just need the faith that we have. In other words, our faith, coupled with Jesus' power, can bring healing to us and to others, to the glory of God. Amen.